is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Talk about C.J. McCollum's comments about Dame Lillard, how that might affect your Sacramento Kings. I was looking online just to see if we were going to miss anyone. We're talking about our favorite journeymen, journey persons. And there's a list of football journeymen.
Football has the most, right?
This is from 3 years ago. So,
okay.
Josh McCown, Case Keenum, Benjamin Watson, Torrey Smith, Mike Wallace, Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, Sam Bradford, Brandon Marshall, Aqib Talib.
I don't consider Aqib Talib. Like, you can't be a Pro Bowler and be a journeyman.
I also don't really count a journeyman as somebody, like, there's a difference between a journeyman and let's define this. There's a difference between a true journeyman and somebody who switched a bunch of teams the last 4 years of their career because they're old.
Vince Carter is not a journeyman.
No.
But Vince Carter, you know, played a long time and switched to a bunch of different teams.
That doesn't count. Vince Carter's a
Toronto Raptor. And a Net. He was an all-star at the Nets.
But don't we?
But we think of him as a Raptor.
Moses Malone had a 20-year career, changed teams 10 times.
Not a journeyman.
No?
Come on, Moses Malone's one of the greatest players of all time.
No, can you be one of the greatest players of all times and a journeyman?
No.
Now, because here's the question. Is Kevin Durant a journeyman?
No.
So define, tell me why not.
A journeyman can never have made an all-star team, number one.
Oh, okay. So we're not just simply talking about somebody who's played for multiple teams in a fairly short time.
No, we're just talking about a guy who's just played for multiple teams, has never been a star, may have been in the rotation, or was at the back end of the bench.
Okay. So Joe Smith could be a journeyman.
Joe Smith may be the greatest NBA journeyman of all time. He's a former number one pick. He didn't suck, but he wasn't great.
Was Juwan Howard a journeyman?
Yeah. Juwan Howard never made an all-star team, if I'm not mistaken.
Was Theo Ratliff a journeyman?
Theo Ratliff was an all-star. Oh. I'll give you some journeyman. Let's just talk about some that have come through Sacramento. I saw this on the chat. Jim Jackson was a journeyman.
Those Rick Adelman teams really made...
Tony Massenburg, a journeyman. Chucky Brown, a journeyman.
Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah, Mad Max, you could say, was a journeyman.
Did we already say John Barry?
We did not, but John Barry, I would say, was a journeyman. Scott Pollard. Again, journeyman's not a bad thing. I think it gets a negative connotation, but it's not a bad thing. It means you had a long career, which means you probably made some good cash.
Garrett Temple's
a journeyman. That's just all NBA.
That might be my favorite journeyman, by the way, for the kid. Yeah, I love Garrett Temple.
Garrett Temple just got a new contract. Like, Garrett Temple's still getting paid. Like, I'm a Garrett Temple fan.
It's an interesting concept.
Vinny Testaverde, a great journeyman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kerry Collins, a journeyman, but had some success. Oh, did Kerry Collins make a Pro Bowl? I feel like he did.
He might have.
I feel like he did in Carolina.
I think he did in Carolina. I'll look that up, but I think he did. It's interesting. Well, and baseball's almost got too many to name. Baseball's got a ton of journeymen that you know, you kept talking about Cody Ross the other day and what he did for the Giants.
He's a journeyman.
And absolutely. Just people that are never going to be in the MVP conversation.
Never even in the All-Star conversation, but they find a way to play. I feel like the most journeymen in baseball are probably either relievers or back-end starters, right?
Probably. You might throw catchers in there.
Yeah, there's some journeyman catchers
If you're a good defensive catcher that can bat above the Mendoza line, you're going to have a job in baseball.
Who was it that caught Maddux for all those? It was Tony Perez. Remember, Javi Lopez always had a night off when Maddux pitched.
No, it was Jody Davis, I thought, that caught Maddux.
What? In Atlanta? I thought it was Tony. I thought it was Perez that caught.
I'm thinking Chicago. I thought you were going Cubs.
No, I was going Braves. Sorry. I can see that.
I gotcha. I think you're Tony Perez? I feel like we're getting that wrong.
Am I mixing up with Cincinnati?
It's Tony Perez. Yeah, Tony Perez is Cincinnati. Wasn't Tony Perez the guy?
Eddie Perez. I'm sorry, Perez.
Yeah, because Tony Perez had the, if I remember correctly, Tony Perez.
Tony Perez on the big red machine.
Yeah, he had the leg out. Mm-hmm. He caught with the right leg out. Now you got me thinking. Now I don't know why this has nothing to do with anything. He's certainly not a journeyman. But now you have me thinking about like underappreciated names from
yesteryear.
Like you got me thinking of Benito Santiago now.
Benny Santiago was really, you know, roided up Benny Santiago with the Giants was really good.
Did Benny Santiago get busted?
I'm pretty sure Benny got.
We
got
to be careful on that.
If he didn't get busted, he was named in like the Balco report.
I'm just saying we want to be careful there. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying.
Benito was amazing, but.
He testified. Yep. Okay, you're right. He testified before the Balco grand jury and admitted to it. Okay, I don't know why that didn't ring a bell with me. With stuff like that, I just.
Friend FP Santangelo was a great journeyman, Sacramento.
Yes, he was. Why'd you bring him up right then?
I don't know, because he used to work for KHCK, duh. Yeah.
I love FP. Benito Santiago, dude, when he came up with the Padres,
yeah,
I loved him so much. I caught and I pitched, but catcher was like, that was the way to the show. And that's why I had such an affinity for Bob Melvin all those years and his squat, weird bent over squat thingy. But Benny Santiago, man, when he came up with the Padres, oh my God. Would regularly gun people out from his knees. Regularly gun people.
Yeah, like, that was his thing. He threw from his knees and just. Could you imagine if he actually would have done it the way he was supposed to? Just how strong his arm was? Throw a little momentum in there.
But I think the reason he did that in part was, yeah, maybe. But also his release after catching the ball without having to stand up and go through the whole motion. He would just catch the ball and.
Was a great journeyman that had a nice stint with the Giants? Royce Clayton. Clayton hung around for a long time.
Absolutely.
Darren Lewis was another one.
Yep, for sure. Now you got me thinking of old school Giants that weren't necessarily journeymen, but just those guys that kind of came and like.
That were there forever? Kurt Manwaring was the one of those guys.
I remember when.
Marvin Bernard was a Giant, for 30 years.
Yeah, Ernest Riles, another one. Ernest Riles hit the 10,000th home run in Giants history.
You know, another good journeyman that came through the Giants. I just always thought he was super solid. Was Randy Wynn?
Ah, for sure. Wait, did he come from? Where did he come from? The Rays?
Mariners. He played for the Mariners and the Rays. Yeah. So
Benji Molina is not a journeyman. Jake Taylor from the Cleveland Indians is one of the all-time journeymen.
Dude, Jake Taylor might be like, they cast that so well.
Uh-huh.
Journeyman catcher, playing in the Mexico League.
By the way, Jake Taylor in, oh God. Go on. Say
You had an epiphany there.
Who played Jake Taylor? Tom Behringer.
Tom Behringer.
All right. And do we remember, was it 93 that Major League came out?
89.
Thank you very much.
You're having a moment. What's going on here?
I knew I was. Oh, God. I knew I was going to. Tom Behringer was 39 years old in Major League.
Mm-hmm.
Old Tom Behringer.
Yeah, he's 71 now.
Was 39 years old. He's 72.
Sorry.
So old, decrepit. Washed up.
Oh, damn it. Randy Wynn was an all-star, someone said. That sucks.
Was he?
Yeah, that just ruins my whole thing.
That makes me.
Ooh, Marquise Grissom. Marquise Grissom, good journeyman.
Well, but hold on. Marquise Grissom absolutely was an all-star.
He was?
With the Expos? Yes.
Are you sure?
I would bet a ton of money. Marquise Grissom had some amazing years. Hold on.
I don't remember Expo Marquise Grissom. I remember more Atlanta Brave, World Series champion Marquise Grissom, and Giant Marquise Grissom. And I think Dodger Marquise Grissom.
Marquise Grissom came up with the Expos.
I know that.
And Marquise Grissom would grab him a stolen base or 12. Once upon a time, Marquise Grissom and Delino DeShields were the guys you
grabbed. You want to bring Delino DeShields up to me?
I'm just saying.
You want to. Mr. Hey, let's just trade this guy named Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields.
Still one of the worst trades in baseball history. I completely hear you. Marquise Grissom won four gold gloves, Was the MVP of the ALCS in 97. Won a World Series in 95 with the Braves. And led the league.
He was on the Indians?
Yeah. Marquise Grissom played for the Expos, Braves, Indians, Brewers, Dodgers, and Giants. And it was funny to watch Grissom develop because he was such a quickster when he came up. And boy, then did he get power.
You know what makes baseball hard with journeymen? Because there's so many guys that are just random guys that played for like 16 years for six teams, and they do manage to squeeze in like one random all-star appearance.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But baseball,
you know what I mean? It's like John Jaha was an all-star. Ed Sprague was an all-star.
Isn't Ed Sprague local?
Yeah, he's with the A's still.
But I'm saying, isn't he Sacramento?
I'm pretty sure he's Northern California. I don't know if he's Sacramento, but I think... actually, I think you might be onto something there. I do think he does.
Stockton, something in this area.
He has close ties to the area.
I think.
And he's with the A's organization now in a coaching role.
You know, here's the other thing. A guy named Chelsea Ross. You know, Bill Simmons used to call him those guys.
I know who Chelsea Ross is.
So Chelsea Ross, who I believe.
Plays Harris in Major League.
I don't want to be you, but did he pass? Nope, he's still with us.
You don't want to be me. What's wrong with killing someone off when they're alive?
Okay, this makes me feel a little bit better. So Chelsea Ross is currently 79 years old. So Chelsea Ross...
He looks 79 in Major League.
He did. So he was the old washed-up pitcher that used to rub snot on the ball in Major League.
Ain't got an arm like yours.
He was 46.
Again, looked 86.
I hate doing stuff like that when you realize how much younger than you think those guys are.
If you want a transition, I got one.
Please.
Dame Lillard might be 86 by the time he wins a title in Portland.
Hey, what do you know? Look at that. I mean, you really did so well there. Dame Lillard, his backcourt mate, CJ McCollum, had a quick conversation about Damian. Here's what he had to say.
I don't want
to
speak for him, but having a close relationship, Dame and I talk every day or every other day. You know, from sharing memes to, you know, sending videos to each other to serious talks about, you know, our season, what it takes to win, what it's going to take to win a championship. Like, I have a pretty good sense of where he's at. And I think, you know, his goal is to win a championship. I think at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want to put ourselves in the best position to win a championship. But, I mean, he's all in. I think, you know, at this stage, I can say that he's all in. He just wants to win at the end of the day. And I think he's shown historically that he's the type of person that if he thinks something, feels something, he says something. And if someone comes out with something that's not true, he will correct it, whether that's through the media or on Twitter. But on all accounts, based on what I've heard, based on what I've seen, I think he just wants to win a championship, and he wants to do it in Portland. We've talked about the parade route. We've shared, you know, what it would be like, what that would feel like. And that's our goal. That's his goal. I know it. We've spoken on it many, many times.
All right. Let's believe CJ McCollum, because I do.
We have no reason not to.
And listen, if anybody's going to have an access to an unfiltered Dame Lillard, there you go.
CJ McCollum.
Doesn't mean that Neil Olshey isn't going to trade Damian Lillard tomorrow. It doesn't mean that Dame Lillard's not going to ask out a month into the season. We don't know that, but it certainly sounds like the Dame Lillard wants out of Portland thing has calmed quite a bit. I like the angle you put on this, though, Jay, which is, if Dame Lillard's off the table, what does that do? What does that do to Daryl Morey and whether or not he's going to move Ben Simmons? Because the thought was that's who they'd want.
Their target.
They'd want Lillard for Simmons.
Lillard and Embiid, that's their ticket to the championship, which, by the way, would be a hell of a team.
I don't disagree with that at all. Philadelphia's also got a little bit of the Utah Jazz Phoenix Sun syndrome right now in their own conference, but they may very well be blocked by the Nets and or the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I think the Sixers are solidly the third best team in the Eastern Conference, arguably the second. But you've only got so much prime with these guys.
Sure.
They may not be able to get over the top.
And we know with Joel Embiid, who knows, given his injury,
that's correct,
you know, issues of, you know, his entire career. We don't know how long you have with Joel. That could be a very short window.
Right.
You need a ready now superstar, and that's Dame Lillard. And so it's logical why Maury would say, hey, we're going to wait for Dame and Ben's our chip. It's all logical. But what do we discuss? They have to be available.
They have to be available. Best availability is availability. That's what the kids say.
That right there is a quote. You should pin that.
I should. So let's look at what's left. Now, first off, there's no guarantee Ben Simmons is traded, but I still think it's more likely than not.
Yeah, I mean, they can sit there and be cute and say, yeah, we're gonna bring him into training camp and we'll go that to me sounds like a recipe for disaster.
There's a lot of smoke with that fire.
Yeah, you got it. They're trying to maintain we have the advantage in trade discussions, which, right. And most of us see that they clearly don't.
So, first off, we've talked about this before, generally, not always, but generally, when you see All-Stars traded, they're traded to a separate conference. Almost always.
Yep.
An All-Star is traded to a separate conference. It's just over history. So, looking at what could be on the table, where do the Kings stack up with a team like the Timberwolves, a team like the Spurs, a team like the Warriors? I would say the first advantage they have, we've talked about this before, is that maybe with the exception of the Timberwolves, the Kings have the most valuable draft picks. A Sacramento Kings first-round pick is the most valuable, arguably, draft pick in the entire NBA because you're talking about a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 15 years. Now, would Ben Simmons change that? Probably.
But it's not like they're going to be a number three seed.
Correct.
So the picks would still be decent picks.
Now you can make the same argument. You know, the Timberwolves are right behind the Kings when it comes to ineptitude. Right behind. But they also have Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, and a couple of other pieces. You see some pieces
there. Sure.
The problem is that I don't know what the Timberwolves can offer up. Let's just start with the deal that's probably not going to get it done, which would be Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, and two first-round picks, top three protected, in 22 and 24 for Ben Simmons. Okay. What do the Timberwolves have that isn't Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Edwards?
D'Angelo Russell.
That they have D'Angelo Russell. So D'Angelo Russell and another piece, not Cat, not Edwards.
Just say Malik Beasley for sure. Sake of salary and all that.
I don't think that
stuff.
Beats what the Kings have. So then you go to San Antonio. That's a real weird one because they've got a lot of good players, but they don't necessarily have a lot of great players.
They don't have a piece there on that team now that I think puts Philly over the top.
Right.
Not that the Kings and Timberwolves do, but they have more guys, I think, when you talk about a Buddy Hield, for instance, from a fit standpoint.
I also think that when you're, you know, and again, trying to take the purple glasses off and be realistic, you have to be realistic about Bagley. You have to be realistic about Hield. But putting Hield in a backcourt like that and having Embiid and the rest of that team being out, that is a very good defensive team. It would be less of a good defensive team without Ben Simmons, sure, but they still have Matisse Thybulle, who they probably move into the line.
You're balancing your roster in
right.
a sense.
He now provides that outside shooting that the Sixers really, really lack. He now is an elite three-point shooter whose job is to go out there and be an assassin from the outside. And if you want to come out and you want to try to double Buddy, that's fine. You're leaving Joel Embiid inside. That's a problem. You now have an elite inside asset, and you have an elite outside asset in Hield and Embiid.
And I don't think Philly has any problem this year with Tyrese Maxey taking over a point guard.
I don't think so either. I think they've got a lot of depth there. The only team that really bothers me here is the Warriors as far as putting together a package.
I feel like the Warriors, if they really wanted to, could trump all three teams.
If the Warriors wanted to throw out, let's say, James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins. So you go Wiseman, Wiggins, and two first-round picks. Advantage Kings on the picks. Advantage Kings on the picks. Because a team with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons, and Klay Thompson, again, health is an issue there. But even if one of those guys go down, that's still a playoff.
You have a lot of firepower.
You have a
well,
lot.
Well, it's not just a playoff team. It's, to me, an upper echelon.
I agree
team.
With you.
Depending on how Klay comes back, obviously. But
so the question for Daryl Morey is this. Number one. I mean, I think there's a couple of factors, less than the others. Number one is the difference between Wiggins and Wiseman and Bagley and Hield enough to trump the difference in the draft picks. Because you're also taking on a lot of salary there, too, as you would with the Kings. But that Wiggins contract is rough. I think from a far lesser scale, also, Daryl Morey, he has a lot to deal with before this because he's got to get out of the East. But are you worried at all? I think you're far less worried about pumping the Sacramento Kings up than you are the Warriors.
Sure.
And do you want to turn around and get out of the Eastern Conference and get beat by the team you just traded Ben Simmons to? Because Ben Simmons, because of the construction of the Golden State Warriors, if you have Simmons and Draymond Green on the floor with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, and you find a way to make that work, which Steve Kerr could, that's really, really tough, dude.
Yeah.
You just added in, by the way, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, who could be also part of a deal.
Sure. But you also, again, you know, Joe Lacob has said they want to bridge, right?
Sure.
From that core to the younger core of, you know, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, those
right.
guys.
Right.
To your point, I mean, what's Simmons, 24? Yes, 25?
24.
He fits into that timeline.
Yeah, 100%.
So I don't think the Warriors would be sad to sacrifice one of those young guys.
If I'm the Golden State Warriors, honest to God, I probably, here's what my offer would be. I'd go, you're going to have to give up one of the young guys. So I would give up Wiseman. The number two pick in the draft last year, he looks like he's going to be a good player. But of all those players, you give up the big man.
Mm-hmm.
You give up Andrew Wiggins. That helps you salary-wise, too. And then I'd probably go four firsts. I'd go, if I'm the Warriors, I'm thinking, I've got these guys probably at least another 3 years.
I just don't think you have to give up four.
I don't know that you do either, but I'm willing to go there.
Okay.
I would start with Wiseman, Wiggins, and two firsts. But in the back of my mind, I'd be willing to go. Like, if Daryl Morey countered with four, I'd counter with three.
And I think Morey takes that offer.
I think he probably does. And I think the Warriors are a better team if they do that. And as you said, I think now you move forward, not only contending for a title now, but you move forward knowing that when Green and Steph and Klay go, you're going to have a 28-year-old Ben Simmons, and you're going to have 20...
And you're hoping the culture right. that those guys developed rubs off on
Correct.
Him, and he can take over the reins at that
Correct.
Point and be the best player on that team.
And now you add into that, you add in Moody and Kuminga. Well, that's a pretty... That could very well be a very decent core. And I think, you know, I think Moses Moody would have probably made it with any team, or at least...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Warriors are going to help Moody as much as the Warriors' culture will help Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga, once upon a time, was talked about as a top two, top three pick in this draft, and he slipped. I think that Warriors culture is going to help him a lot.
So kind of the same way you did with the picks in Golden State, what's the most if you're Monty McNair? Knowing that your pieces are, I would say at this point even, it's either Buddy or Harrison.
Right.
Because I don't think Barnes is necessarily out of the equation there. Right. And Marvin Bagley,
sure.
and what is the amount of picks? You can throw swaps in there as yep. well that you're comfortable with, protections, all that stuff.
There's not a lot I wouldn't do. I wouldn't give up 10 first-round picks.
Well, I
wouldn't give up five.
Did you give up four?
I would, with
protections?
I would have to have a mixture of top threes, top tens, and lotteries that progressively scale better for us. But I would probably go, I would probably go Heald, Bagley, and I'd really want to do two picks. I think I'd do the same thing the Warriors would do, you know, in that scenario. I'd go with two, Daryl counter with four, and I'd probably settle on three.
Would you do three and two swaps?
I'd be fine with the swaps. If that was the case, I would equate one pick as a greater than sign to two pick swaps. And that, because I know that I'm going forward now with Davion okay. Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, and Ben Simmons.
So now that we have negotiated for both sides, what do you think if your Philly is the better option? Let's say it's Wiggins, Wiseman, and three first, or Heald, Bagley, three first, two swaps.
I would say three first and two pick swaps because of, I acknowledge that on the floor right now, Wiggins and Wiseman are probably the better two, but you're getting those Kings picks in the back of your pocket. You're getting those swaps in the back of your pocket. By the way, Marvin Bagley is still 22 years old, and if anybody knows developing injured big men, it's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
And Buddy Hield provides them instantly the thing they need most, elite outside shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Buddy Hield is more elite at what he does than anything the Warriors are going to offer.
Yeah.
And it happens to be the thing the Sixers need the most. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
coming up next.
All right, once in a blue moon, Jay's got a very cool Yankees stat. We got a couple other things for you as well that you're going to enjoy, including something involving the baseball teams being 500 that kind of blew me away. We'll talk about that next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of them, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
What if we spray you?
Oh, good.
Works with the cockroaches in our neighborhood.
You need to be like whoever the people that I need to cancel that, like, once a month come out and spray my house for bugs.
Dude.
Yet I wake up in the morning and, oh, hey, there's a cockroach in my bathroom.
Let me tell you something. I spray my own house because I'm a man.
Oh, well.
We don't have that problem. So, yeah, cancel it. Go buy you some bug spray.
You just go spray like that?
Dude, seriously.
Really?
I go spray outside the house once every couple weeks. I keep up on it. We don't have a pest issue.
Interesting. It's a fun visual.
What, me and bug spray?
You spraying around the house.
My man.
Yeah, we were talking
about my own things.
We were talking about Daryl Morey and the Sixers and Ben Simmons. It occurred to me in one of the early conversations I had with Monty McNair, you know, when you're trying to get to know new, whether it's general managers, coaches, players, you want to know what their hobbies are. Did you? I don't know if I've ever brought this up. You know, Monty is in an old school, like been in it for a long time. He's in a fantasy football league.
Okay. Not unusual.
Does
he play with the crappy rules too?
Well, that's the thing. I should have asked him more. Maybe next time we have him on, I'll ask him that. Can you imagine being in a fantasy league with an actual general manager in a sport?
I wouldn't do it. Just that might as well give him your money.
That would be fascinating.
Unless, did he give context? Like, maybe this is a fantasy football league that's only NBA executives.
No. I there was context. I want to say it's like friends and family type of one of those. Yeah. That's fascinating to me, though. Like, you're right. And by the way, there's a ton of GMs that are in fantasy leagues. You know, obviously not basketball, not in the sport they're in, but because that would be a little. But, you know, but you got to think, oh, my goodness, that would be really intimidating, I think. I'd like to try it. I'll bet you they win every year. I didn't ask him. I should. Next time he comes on, I'm going to ask him. Like, how often have you won? What's your average finishing position? Yeah. Where do you usually place in the league? Once in a blue moon.
Right now?
Please.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
And damn Yankees.
Oh, those gall darn Yankees. Can't say the other thing.
They've now won, they now have their 31st 10-game win streak in team history.
Nice.
Which is the most by any American League franchise.
Okay.
They haven't won 11 in a row since?
Since when?
1985.
That's kind of strange when you think about all those really, really good teams.
Well, think about the late 90s. I would have thought one of those teams had an 11-game win streak.
Bernie Williams era.
Scott Brosius. By the way, one of the most underrated names.
I know Bernie Williams and you go Scott Brosius.
Did you not remember Scott Brosius' playoff heroics?
I am not disrespecting Scott Brosius.
You're going to disrespect Jim Leyritz while we're at
Jeter, it? You could have gone Pettit.
Mariano.
Cone, even.
Don't go Wetland. That's bad.
Don't go Wetland. No.
Never go Wetland.
But you brought up Scott Brosius.
Scott Brosius was
Jorge
great.
Posada. Who was their first baseman?
Well, first of all, Joe Girardi was the catcher before Posada, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Well, why am I blanking on the first baseman for those Yankees teams?
Paul O'Neill was in right, yeah?
Yeah, Paul O'Neill was in right.
First baseman for the Yankees. Cecil, I felt like, played first base there. Chili Davis was on those teams. I know Cecil played for them.
Missing a first baseman for them.
Jason Ross, if you're listening, text us. I know you'll know. Or Frankie.
Over the last 1,000 games, the Blue Jays are 500-500. That's a pretty cool stat.
Wow. That's almost amazing.
But wait.
There's more?
Over their last 1,000 games played, the Braves are 500-500.
Stop.
The Mets are 500 and 500.
That's shocking.
And the Twins are 500 and 500.
How does that even happen?
I don't know, and God bless the nerd who
looked
that up.
Where'd you come across that?
This is from Jim Passan, who is an author. He is a co-host of the Romantic About Baseball podcast. And
podcast.
And self-described stat hunter. Here's something. No relation to Katie. Stat hunter, Katie. Okay. Anyways.
Got it.
The Mariners, counting last night's win over the A's, are 496 and 504 in their last 1,000 games. Not 500 and 500, but boy, is that close.
The fact that they're that close to 500 is, again, the more surprising thing to me than anything else.
That is the most bananas stat you're going to hear all day. Tino Martinez. Thank you, Jason Ross.
Oh, duh.
Tino Martinez.
The great Tino Martinez.
Thank you, Matt Graham, also. Good friend, Matt Graham. Wow. By the way, just to put in context, over the past 1,000 games played, the Dodgers are 6-10 and 390.
Is that good?
The Pirates are 469, 530, and 1.
Well, they had a couple seasons above 500, so.
The Angels are 480 and 520. That's a lot of parity.
I thought the Angels would have been closer to like 400 and 600. They're stupid.
Just saying. That's a lot. The most bet on team to make the playoffs at BetMGM Sportsbooks. You want to take a guess? The most, not the favorite. The most bet on. So that could mean a bunch of fans of theirs. Maybe it's a big market team. That could mean a team that has lower or higher odds and somebody sees a value there. I will give you a hint. This is not like the Super Bowl contending favorite type of bet. The team in the NFL, according to BetMGM, that has been most bet on to make the playoffs.
Packers.
No. Way too much of a Super Bowl contender.
Okay, so I'm looking. Okay.
I'll give you a hint because this might actually be the 30th team you guess. I'll give you one hint. Eminem.
Eminem?
Yeah.
The Raiders because of Marcus Mariota.
The Detroit Lions.
I was 8 Mile. I was thinking Eminem's the candy.
No. The Detroit Lions are the most bet-on team to make the playoffs. The most bet-on team, similar idea here. In fact, I would say odds-wise, I don't have them in front of me, but odds-wise, this team is actually more likely to make the playoffs than the Lions, slightly, maybe. But the most bet-on team to miss the playoffs.
Cincy.
I'll give you one hint. I think you'll get it, too. They're currently on Hard Knocks.
Oh, I know.
Uh-huh.
Dallas.
Hey, you got it.
Wow.
The Dallas Cowboys are the most bet team, according to BetMGM, to miss the playoffs.
More so than the Jags, huh? Mm.
Well, but that's the thing. See, what's happening in
both
cases.
Yeah, help me understand why Dallas.
So what's happening in most cases is that you've got, let's say, the Cowboys. I don't know this to be true, but let's say the Cowboys are favored to make the playoffs. So that means if you bet, you know, let's say they're -180, meaning you got to bet $1.80 to win a dollar. But let's say they're like +200 to miss the playoffs, which means if you bet $1, you win two. In other words, there's a value people are seeing. They're saying, I don't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, and I get to win a decent amount at a nice clip if they do miss the playoffs. So those are both value bets.
I get the value. Also, I think they operate in the most unpredictable division to pick a playoff team from that division. You have Washington, Philly, Dallas, and the Giants.
Right.
Like, any of the four teams can accidentally get into the playoffs, because that's what happens in the NFC East. You accidentally make the playoffs. It's not on purpose.
Right.
So, again, very interesting, the Cowboys.
One last note.
Okay.
And this is worth it because this is one of my favorite anniversaries in all of sports, and it happened 102 years ago. A gentleman named Ray Caldwell. Ray Caldwell was making his debut as a Cleveland Indian, soon to be Guardian.
We think.
He showed excellent form and held Philadelphia to 4 puny hits. Then he went on. He was throwing a 4-hit shutout. he was one out shy of a four-hit shutout. When he was struck by lightning and knocked unconscious.
It's not funny.
He was struck by lightning and knocked unconscious. Now, that's the story. But wait, there's more. He eventually regained consciousness and made the final out of the game to get a complete game shutout victory for Cleveland. I mean, we have load management today. Ray Caldwell, 102 years ago, got struck by actual lightning from the sky, fell unconscious, probably smelled like barbecue.
At least died for a split second.
Got a heart stop for a couple. Woke up, probably got slapped around by the trainer. Hey, Ray, you got to wake up, see? You got to get back on the mound, see?
We got one more out.
Hey. And he gets up and he throws a complete game shutout. Oh, golly. Come on.
Was the game held in the Thunderdome?
Can you imagine his heart rate?
Lightning and thunder?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, my.
I guarantee you that after getting struck by lightning, his heart rate was as high as the interest rates with my friend Shelby are low. Go to refinancewithshelby.com and find out for yourself. Whether you're just doing a straight refinance and lowering that interest rate to those ground floor numbers, or you want to get cash out. I don't know why I did it in that voice, but if you want to get cash out for whatever reason you might want. We talked yesterday about starting a business. You get lower rates usually than the Small Business Administration does. Fix a bathroom, a kitchen, pay off credit card debt, send your kids to college. I don't know. You know what you need cash for. Everybody needs cash. You can also purchase homes through Shelby as well. The thing about Shelby is that he and his team know what they're doing so well that they can close purchase loans in under 17 days. And for those of you getting caught over the top by cash offers from out of town, to a lot of sellers, that's better than a cash offer. He can approve you, pre-approve you over the phone in 10 minutes or less without even running your credit. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. Get struck by lightning financially. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All righty. One final segment. What's on tap? And we've got baseball on tap. We got a crossover. I believe it's Scott Moak that asked the crossover, and we'll ask one as well. Do we have a guest host today? We don't have it. We do. Who's our guest host? We'll find out. We'll find out when we get back. No, go away.
Yeah, let's go! Come on!
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Catch Up on Your Tacos.
Okay, this is going on in the YouTube chat. I don't know that I've ever said this publicly. I think I might have. Out of context, in a vacuum, I put ketchup on my tacos. Now, let me provide you the context. If we're talking about a regular taco, an actual taco with the ground beef or whatever the meat is seasoned with taco seasonings, you know, garlic powder, lots of cumin, stuff like that. No, of course I do not. The only acceptable toppings to me, other than, you know, the veggies, the onions, the cilantro, whatever, you put salsa on it. Hot sauce, guac, sour cream's fine. You know, never would I ever put ketchup on a taco. However, my mother growing up, one of the dishes she would make occasionally is she would ground beef, mm-hmm. you know, fry it up, and she would take a slightly warmed flour tortilla, and she would put the unseasoned ground beef in the flour tortilla. She would top it with cheese, lettuce and tomatoes, and then we would put ketchup on that and wrap it up. It would be more akin to a burrito mm-hmm. because of the flour tortilla, almost like a cheese burko, if you will, a cheeseburger taco, which are fantastic. A cheeseburger taco is fantastic.
When was the last time you had one?
It's been probably over a year. I make them about once a year for the kids, and they love them. So the answer is no, you can't put ketchup on your tacos. The answer is no, you cannot put ketchup on your tacos. But there are fusions and hybrids. Just to wrap this segment up, another thing I very much like to make, not as hard as you might think. It's in every grocery store. You can get egg roll wrappers. Very simple. No, that's not a band. You can get egg roll wrappers. They're usually in the produce section or somewhere near there. You get the egg roll wrappers. You can also get pot sticker wrappers, but I'm talking about egg rolls. And you fill those with ground beef and cheese and a little bit of sauce, a ketchup, and a mayo, and you wrap them up in deep fry them. You make cheeseburger egg rolls. Not healthy, but they're so good.
It's also cultural appropriation.
No, it's called fusion.
No, it's appropriation.
It's fusion. It's
appropriation.
It's fusion.
Appropriation.
You're in appropriation. It's what your name is. Somewhat are you.
Breaking news out of the KHDK programming department.
Uh-huh.
No guest host today. Just Jason by himself. Wow, that was a mean look by you.
Oh, I had a question already. I know. It's like, just Jason. Aw. Actually, I like because I said yesterday on the crossover. I feel bad because these guest hosts, I feel like I need the guest is in the house. They take off their shoes. They come in. They make themselves at home. I feel like I need to direct the crossover to them.
You want a crossover right now?
I want to tell everybody before we do that.
What is on the tappers?
What is on the tappers? The Oakland Athletics are playing Dave Baseball right here on the Sporty 1140. We will start coverage at noon. First pitch at 12:37. Cole Irvin on the mound against Chris Flexen of the Seattle Mariners.
Attaboy.
That's a big game. A's are going to win this one. I guarantee it. 4:10, Giants and Mets. The Giants start their series at Citi Field. Sacramento's Sammy Long on the mound for the Gigantics. And also of note, at 7 o'clock at the aforementioned Petco Park, Dodgers and Padres.
Big series. Big next three games for the NL West.
Yeah, let's cross it over, shall we?
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
All right, guys, time for the crossover. Special guest Scott Moak. Ready to do the crossover. So you handling the honors here?
I am. Thank you for lending the baton.
Yeah. And you handled Dave's question quite well.
Well, I it was about, one of my responsibilities at games to say the names.
Yeah.
But really to get the names right.
Yeah, that's very important.
We know that is it's crucial.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the you have one job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one job. You got to get them right.
Yeah.
So we thought the only poignant crossover question would be, Dave, if we were to deliver you with the three names in said envelope that you will be receiving and will be opening, can you say them correctly?
As Scott Moak would on the PA.
I mean, look, if you want to dress them up and go for it full throttle,
it's your show.
Be my guest. But we need the three names said correctly.
This is exciting.
He included props. Props to the props. Jason Ross, the boss, comes in the middle of right when the crossover starts. I turn off the microphone. He shooes me away. Leo says, puts his hand up. And then he's holding an envelope. Now, let me tell you something. When your boss comes into the show with an envelope in his hand, it makes you a little nervous. But no, I guess I'm not getting fired, at least till after the show. Oh.
Let's hear him. We don't have much time.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nice.
Nicholas Skidishvili. Yeah? Thumbs up, thumbs up. Okay.
Good luck.
Roy Smith.
Martinez Andrus Kivicius. I've never seen this name before. Am I close? Andrius Kivicius?
Andrus Kivicius.
Oh, God, I wasn't even close at all. Andrus Kivicius. Under what?
I would have got that.
Andra Skevishish?
Smith.
Shush?
Smith.
It's Andra Smith. That's from the crossover we had yesterday with the
name pronunciation.
Since you're in here and today's crossover is for you anyways, can I turn on a mic here real quick? How much time do we have?
Yeah, you got about a minute and a half.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half. Jason Ross, the boss, everybody. Hey, good morning. Hey, that's my Cliff Bar. Hi. Is
Hi.
He? Hi, there he is. He's on. Good morning, Jason. How
Good
are
morning.
You? So it's just you today.
Yeah, because after A's, it will be about an hour or so, hour and a half show.
Are we were a little confused. Are we haven't, because always err on the side of caution. Are we talking about any future guest hosts that may or may not be joining you this week, or is that still kind of a surprise?
I don't know, maybe a surprise, I
feel
guess.
Like it's a surprise.
Yeah.
I feel like it's surprising. I listened to you and Moak. You guys were great yesterday.
It was fun, a lot of fun.
You know I'm a huge fan of both of you. I thought that was awesome. All right, we were having this conversation earlier. I'll give Jay all the credit because it was Josh Rosen leaving the Niners, joining the who is he with?
Falcons.
The Falcons. Thank you. He's officially a journeyman or journey person. It's 2021. So later today, I'm going to give you all day to think about this, which we usually don't. Give the audience your favorite journey persons. You can switch sports. But our rule, Jay's rule, I should say, and I like it, is they can't ever have been an all-star. So it's not just people that have played for multiple teams. It's journey people. Jay, he can't
Steve
hear
Perry?
Steve Perry of Journey?
Yes.
And it should have been go.
He's my favorite journey person.
Like Tony Massenberg.
Tony Massenberg. I just, how much time do we have? He just did the Steve. He just did the, that's his favorite. For Jay, I'm Dave, and Jason, we'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Jim Rome is next.
What happens in Vegas?